Imagine walking into a meeting where everyone speaks at once, decisions seem arbitrary, and a vocal minority dominates the discussion. This frustrating scenario is precisely what Robert's Rules of Order was designed to prevent. Created in 1876 by Henry Martin Robert, a retired Army Brigadier General, what began as a brief pamphlet evolved into the definitive guide for conducting meetings effectively. Today, these rules transform potentially chaotic gatherings into models of efficiency and fairness across organizations worldwide. From Oprah Winfrey's business meetings to government bodies and nonprofits, this system addresses a fundamental challenge. How can groups make fair decisions when opinions differ and emotions run high? Think of parliamentary procedure as the operating system for group decision-making. You wouldn't wait until your computer crashes to install an operating system, so why wait until conflict erupts to implement proper meeting procedures? Structure in meetings doesn't limit freedom, it creates it. Once a group grows beyond 3 to 4 people, the need for formal procedures becomes essential. By the time you reach 12-15 members, meetings without rules can devolve into frustrating free-for-alls where little gets accomplished. A well-structured meeting follows a predictable pattern. The chair calls the meeting to order, confirms a quorum, typically a majority of members, and proceeds through a logical sequence, from minutes approval to reports, unfinished business, and finally new business. This isn't arbitrary bureaucracy. It ensures ongoing matters receive proper attention before new topics are introduced. And here's a common misconception worth correcting. There's no such thing as old business in proper procedure. The correct term is unfinished business, referring specifically to matters previously introduced but not completed. This structured approach might initially seem overly formal, but its value becomes apparent when contentious issues arise or when meetings involve numerous participants with competing priorities. The heart of parliamentary procedure is the motion, a formal proposal for group action. This process transforms individual ideas into collective decisions through a structured sequence. To propose action, obtain the floor by addressing the chair. Once recognized, state, "I move that," followed by your proposal. The motion requires a second from another member to proceed. The chair then states the question by repeating the motion. Debate follows, focusing solely on the proposal's merits. When discussion concludes, the chair puts the question for voting. While seemingly formal, this process becomes invaluable for complex or controversial matters by separating proposal, discussion, and decision into distinct phases. The amendment process allows groups to refine motions by modifying their wording. Amendments must specify exactly where and how the motion should change. They come in 3 types: inserting words, striking out words, or a combination. For example, a motion to establish a division open to juniors and seniors enrolled in city high schools might be amended to insert "and suburban county" before high schools. The chair states both the amendment and how the main motion would read if amended. The group then votes on the amendment itself. 2 key rules apply. Amendments must be germane, related to the same question, and once voted on, that specific change is settled for the meeting. Effective debate follows rules that focus discussion on issues rather than personalities. Standard procedure allows members to speak twice on any debatable motion in one day for up to 10 minutes each time, preventing domination while ensuring efficient meetings. The most crucial rule is addressing issues, not people. While you may vigorously attack ideas, attacking the person behind them is forbidden. Terms like fraud or liar about other members are prohibited. This isn't merely about politeness. Personal attacks discourage participation and create animosity that undermines organizational effectiveness. To maintain this focus, certain formalities help. Speaking through the chair rather than directly to others, and referring to participants by titles or as the previous speaker instead of by name. These practices create psychological distance that prevents debate from becoming personal. When members focus on issues rather than personalities, even contentious topics can be addressed constructively, transforming frustrating meetings into productive exchanges where diverse perspectives lead to better decisions. Sometimes delaying a decision is the wisest choice. Parliamentary procedure offers tools for managing decision timing effectively. The motion to postpone to a certain time delays consideration until a specific future point, while the motion to commit or refer sends proposals to committees for detailed work. Committees come in two forms: standing committees with ongoing responsibility for specific subjects, and special committees created for temporary tasks that disband upon completion. These mechanisms reflect a practical wisdom. Not every proposal requires immediate action, and rushed decisions often yield poor results. Postponement works best when additional information will become available later or when members need time for reflection. Committee referral is ideal for matters requiring detailed analysis or redrafting that would be unwieldy in a full meeting. Both approaches acknowledge that quality decisions often require adequate time and careful consideration, creating clear pathways to address issues when the group is better prepared. Even careful deliberations sometimes lead to unwise decisions. Parliamentary procedure balances stability with flexibility through specific methods for reconsidering decisions. During a meeting, only members who voted on the winning side can move to reconsider a motion, a logical requirement since the outcome wouldn't change if no supporters changed their mind. After a meeting ends, two options remain. Rescind completely cancels a previous action, while amend something previously adopted modifies it. Without previous notice, these require either a two-thirds vote or a majority of the entire membership. With previous notice, announced at the prior meeting or in the meeting call, only a simple majority is needed. These higher thresholds protect absent members from having decisions reversed without warning. When members receive advance notice of reconsideration, they can attend and participate, justifying the lower vote threshold. These procedures acknowledge that circumstances change, new information emerges, and groups make mistakes, providing structured methods to revisit decisions while maintaining appropriate safeguards. Parliamentary procedure embodies democratic principles by balancing majority rule with minority rights, ensuring all voices are heard while maintaining efficiency. Most decisions require a simple majority vote, while actions limiting members' rights require a two-thirds vote. This higher threshold protects minority voices. For routine matters without opposition, the chair can use unanimous consent by asking, "Is there any objection to?" and proceeding if none arise. These varying thresholds reflect parliamentary procedure's fundamental balance. The majority decides, but proper procedure ensures everyone has the opportunity to speak. When properly implemented, these rules transform meetings from frustrating power struggles into productive sessions where decisions reflect the group's genuine will. The system's value lies in its practical effectiveness in helping groups reach fair decisions efficiently, regardless of whether discussions are harmonious or contentious. By mastering these principles, organizations can conduct meetings that respect every member's voice while still accomplishing necessary business.